You're listening to the Jefferson Exchange. I'm Mike Green. This year, the U.S. marked the milestone of turning 250 years old. My guest today is the Deputy Consul General for a nation that's a tad bit older than America, Great Britain. This year also represents the 180th anniversary of the Oregon Treaty with Great Britain. I'm joined in the studio by Peter Newman, the Deputy Consul General at the British Consulate in San Francisco. His office serves a massive region spanning Northern California, Oregon, Washington, Idaho, Montana, Alaska, and Wyoming. Peter's visiting Ashland as part of a broader tour of Southern Oregon, which includes stops here on the campus of Southern Oregon University and the Oregon Shakespeare Festival. Peter, welcome to the Jefferson Exchange.
Thanks, Mike, and thanks for having me.
Well, let's start with your connection to William Shakespeare. You grew up near his hometown?
I did, and it's funny. So I was talking to colleagues about this and about the Shakespeare connection. So I did grow up about 30 minutes away near Birmingham, the second biggest city. And it's kind of funny being in Ashland because Shakespeare is everywhere without you realizing it in the UK and especially where we lived. You know, the pubs are named after Shakespeare plays, but you don't really think about it. And then you go to Stratford and you kind of come here and the similarities are actually quite uncanny because it's, I mean, Shakespeare's something that everybody studies and grows up with in the UK. And it kind of just permeates through your education. And it's only when you come somewhere like this that you realize the impact that Shakespeare has. And it's amazing to be here in a place that is probably as far away from Britain as you can get and as far away from big cities. And then it has this, you know, such vibrant cultural Shakespeare connection.
Yeah, Shakespeare helped build this town. Did you get a chance to visit OSF?
We did. So me and my colleagues that I'm here with, Chris and Elaine, so we went to two yesterday, which kind of rejigged my memory. Midsummer Night's Dream, which was great. Bit of musical theatre in there as well. And then Henry IV in the evening.
Excellent. Now, your office is commemorating the 180th anniversary of the Oregon Treaty. And I know that most Oregonians seldom think about what that treaty meant then. And certainly, we don't think about what it means today.
Yeah, I mean, so as you mentioned at the start, we've been doing a lot of work across our network, as we call it. So the embassy and our eight consulates to celebrate this 250th anniversary of, we say UK-US relations. It might be 250 years since you guys decided to go it alone and then get us Brits out. And we've been doing some work here to try and find what those historic connections are in this part of the world, because they're not as obvious. You know, it's not as old in terms of American civilization today as we know it, I suppose. You know, you've got your Charlestons and your Bostons and everything else on the East Coast. So we've been doing some digging about what we have here and what it means. So, I mean, a bit of background, it was signed in 1846, and it was the result of America, as it was, kind of on the East Coast, had got a bit of confidence, and more settlers had come over to this part of the country. It had traditionally been a place where Brits were exploiting the land and nature, primarily for fur, and run the fur trade here.
Are you saying you were here first?
Well, you know what? I was going to say no, but actually we've realized, so thanks to a little organization in Northern California, that's Sir Francis Drake, who actually was around at the time of Elizabeth I and Shakespeare, that he landed off the coast of Northern California in the late 16th century. So we've decided that, yeah, we were here first, not counting the tribes, obviously, but right. Yeah.
Okay, and so the Oregon Treaty established an agreement.
It did, and thankfully it was a bloodless agreement, and that was more or less the last time that the Brits and the Americans came to blows, and except for maybe one almost come to blow in the San Juan Islands, and it's been plain sailing ever since. So yeah, for us it's celebrating that relation that goes back and how the Brits and the Americans kind of worked together back then, that we came to an agreement, and since then we've basically been the best of friends. The US and the UK are great allies, and this year has been a really good reason for us to kind of retrace those steps about what these agreements mean, the history of the UK, but also being able to visit places like Ashland and like other places in what was then Oregon country, which was basically kind of the west half of what is now the US, trying to find those opportunities for partnerships that will hopefully stand us in good stead as great allies over the next 180 years.
So give me a sense of what you do on a day-to-day basis. What does your job entail?
Yeah, I mean, it's anything and everything, really. I think a lot of people think a consulate and a deputy consul general is somebody who, you know, helps people when they've fallen down a mountain or something, or British misadventures while on vacation or passports. And it is a little bit of that, but it's mostly about making those connections between the places we're posted. So I'm based in San Francisco, but work to, we call it kind of promoting and British interests across the US Northwest. So it's finding those opportunities to work with communities and businesses, towns like Ashland or bigger cities, policymakers, to find those connections between the UK and the local areas, whether that's kind of people-to-people links or trade and investment or education, which we've been discovering actually over the last couple of days here in Ashland.
Well, give me some examples of what that trade looks like.
So for Oregon, there's actually about $1 billion worth of trade in terms of goods and exports between the UK and Oregon. And the Oregonians are employed, about 14,000 Oregonians are employed by UK subsidiaries. But greater in terms of trade, I mean, we have a huge trading relationship between the US and the UK. It's over a couple of trillion. And so we are working to kind of make sure that continues, but also to find where those opportunities were. So we actually have an agreement. It's not a trade agreement, but we signed a what we call an MOU with the state of Oregon in November with the governor. And the idea of that was to kind of think about state level where the UK and Oregon could work together to boost those trade links, but also to kind of find those opportunities and I suppose to put each other a bit higher up the international partners list and find out where those opportunities are. We've been doing that here. I mean, I learned about Lithia Motors yesterday, which was new to me and kind of is this huge local employer and business. So yeah, it's kind of finding those opportunities, helping them to expand into the UK. We can do that with small businesses or large businesses and then helping make that a success if they're thinking about the UK or where the UK can be part of Oregonian and Northern Californian supply chains.
Okay, so give me the highlights of that MOU.
Yeah, so it's basically a framework. So it's kind of, we always say non-binding, but that's actually quite useful, I think, for us. So kind of free trade agreements we have to leave to our colleagues in Washington, D.C. and with the federal government. But for us, it means that we can kind of tailor it to what the strengths are. So they are looking at collaboration in places like technology, semiconductors, and microchips, and also kind of the research and expertise around that, which there's a lot of here, mostly in the north of the state. Green energy and clean tech, as we call it. There's a big focus on tourism, actually. There's lots of tourists already going from Oregon to the UK, and we want to make sure that people in the UK know about Oregon as a destination.
And vice versa.
Exactly. But we've got the direct flight still from Portland, and there's a new Alaska flight direct to London from Seattle, which is easily accessible from Medford or Reading. And yeah, they're the kind of basics, really. But we can obviously use that as a driver for anything else that is important for the people of Oregon and Northern California and expand it from there.
If you're just joining us, my guest is Peter Newman. He's the Deputy Consul General with the British Consulate General in San Francisco. Now, you mentioned your colleagues in Washington. Well, they're having a conversation with our representative in Washington, and there's somewhat of a different perspective on trade as far as tariffs. How does that affect what you do?
So it does affect it. I mean, as we're working with states, it makes it a bit easier in a way for us to do that. So we kind of leave the hard stuff to our colleagues in DC. But it does have a link here. I mean, it obviously affects the amount of trade that we can do and the amount of goods that we can trade, and affects kind of how attractive the UK and the US is to each other's markets. But that's part of my job and our team's job to kind of really sell the UK and vice versa, sell Oregon and California and other parts of the states to the UK. But I mean, locally, right, it does have effects. So we've been really pleased with the work that the Attorney General has done on tariffs in the past, which was one of the things that helped us to get free trade tariffs on whiskey, which sounds small, but it's actually one of our biggest exports. So now there's zero import tariffs, which has been partly due to the work that the Oregon legislature has been doing, pushing the federal government to you know, relax that.
Okay. Well, I would be remiss if I didn't ask how the tribal nations factor into the Oregon Treaty.
Yeah, it's a good question. So the treaty is actually very high level, and we are committed to working with the tribes, and we've worked with the governor to make sure that that is part of all the messaging that we do around that. I mean, it's actually at early stages. So we signed it in November, and it's been actually really interesting being here to understand how the MOU might work and might be most meaningful for people here, including regionally. So we're committed to making sure that over the next months and years, that however we look at implementing that we're doing that with the regions, that we're doing that with the tribes, and taking a cue, I think, from you here and from the communities, because it's something that we are acutely aware of, but kind of have a bit less understanding of, I suppose, in the UK. So we're completely open to working with all communities here to make sure that does deliver for everybody in Oregon and Northern California.
Well, I know that California has a tribal agency as part of the state. You have any relationship with them?
Yeah, we do, but not as much as we did. So, I mean, one example is, as I say, the kind of Drake excursion that we did to find out where he landed. That was actually on Miwok land, and we were in touch with the Miwok tribal agencies there to make sure that, you know, we weren't acting as, you know, colonizers coming back again. So, as I say, it's something that we are acutely aware of and want to make sure that we're working with everybody to make sure that it delivers for everybody in the states.
Excellent. Now, you're here at Southern Oregon University. Why? Mm-hmm. Why did you visit here?
I mean, it's part of the broader connection to Ashland. So, I mean, I don't need an excuse to come to Oregon. I love it here. But my experience is mostly in the north of the country. So Portland, been kind of up to Columbia Gorge and Mount Hood and to Salem, but not to the south of the country. And me and my colleagues were thinking, where should we go? How can we kind of reach people that are elsewhere in the state? And kind of it's partly about getting a different perspective about things. Obviously, the things that matter to people here is not the same as in Portland, is not the same as in San Francisco. And Ashland kind of had it all. It had, you know, there's regional economic development, there's the Shakespeare Festival, and then there's SOU as well. So here we were discussing with Rick, the president, about opportunities for us to do more in terms of those people-to-people connections, kind of student connections, thinking about whether we can expand the Global Innovation Scholars Program that they have and getting that on the radar of some of our British organizations, and then also pitching for a Marshall Scholarship, which is a bit like a Rhodes and a Fulbright Scholarship, but it's where postgrad students of any university in the States can get full funding for a two-year master's program in the UK. So we're hoping to see more applicants from SOU, because we're heading back down to San Francisco today, but via Chico, but we're really keen that we get representation and applications from colleges and students that aren't just, you know, the usual suspects and the Ivy League students. So it was great to understand the connections and see the academic rigor that happens even in places like Southern Oregon University.
Excellent, excellent. It sounds like you're expanding opportunities for our students here, so
yeah,
we appreciate
hopefully.
That.
Yeah, we've got a bit of selling to do, but if that means me coming back to do that, I'm very happy to do that.
Well, prior to your post in San Francisco, you spent 4 years in Brussels.
Yeah.
And I believe you worked closely with businesses to navigate economic ties during the Brexit negotiations.
I did. So in some ways, kind of you mentioning that the tariffs, this is maybe a bit of an easier job here. Yeah, during the Brexit years, it was very interesting, but people weren't quite as open to the Brits as you are here. It was a bit of a cold freeze at the time, but it was really interesting because it was, you know, we had to navigate completely new agreements and kind of sentiment between the European Union and the UK, which actually kind of maybe has some similarities to today working in America and kind of understanding that businesses are the driver of economic growth. They are the people that provide the jobs everywhere, that they are the, you know, they support communities as well. So making sure that message was getting back to my colleagues in Britain, also in Europe, and trying to kind of smooth over some of those issues and kind of make sure that we still had that good trading relationship. But yeah, as I say, I didn't have such a warm welcome. And it was during the COVID years as well. So I really had to, you know, think differently. A lot of knocking on doors and hoping that people would answer.
Creativity and innovation is part of your business
exactly,
model.
Yeah.
So when businesses want to do business overseas, and we don't understand the status after the Brexit, how do you explain that?
It actually doesn't make much difference. It's similar to here. It's kind of, you know, there's extra tariffs and extra kind of friction for trading. But part of my job and the team that I work with's job on the kind of trade and investment side is to smooth over those barriers to trade, even when there are kind of political headwinds and that kind of thing, to make sure that things deliver for both sides. So we actually do that here in the US. We have a team that can kind of support even really small businesses to set up in the UK and vice versa. Whether you're, you know, one person, 10 people or 10,000 people, we can do that. And yeah, it's kind of like a matchmaking concierge service or kind of signposting to the opportunities. And I know that actually Oregon is doing the same, and we're really appreciative of the governor's new international trade desk that we have, which is going to make it much easier for companies to find opportunities here for British companies.
Okay, so that's that white glove concierge service.
Yeah, I mean, I can't say that to everybody. There's only about 25 of us, but we'll do our best.
Okay, well, we're going to have to leave it there. Really appreciate you stopping by today. Thank you, Peter.
Thank you for having me.